The Art of Thomas Hardy. Hardy's chief aim is truth, and hence whatever superficial graces he may lack, he never fails in the grace of severe sincerity. He has been compared with Crabbe as one of the sternest painters of man's social life. He deliberately chooses a restricted field for the sake of the intensity of vision that it gives. The knowledge of the rural life he describes is by his inheritance and training. Art expresses best what is moral, normal to the artist, and Hardy's art is completely expressive of his melancholy temperament. A second notable feature of his art is a certain continuity of design. He does not indeed introduce the characters of former novels into later stories, but he secures the effect of continuity by retaining the same scenery. Familiarity, instead of becoming tiresome, becomes a new bond of attraction on account of the artist's skill. Greatness of design must be reckoned as one of the features of Hardy's art. He attempts a broad synthesis of human life. He had certain definite convictions to express, and in order to express them, he invents a wide framework and adopts a logical scheme. The slightest detail is thought out with exactness. Hardy's always no chance impulses and never wanders from his path. There is an architectural quality in the design of Hardy. It may be to some extent the result of his intimate acquaintance with architecture, approved by the love of architectural topics and terms in many of his novels. The bent of genius is towards a measured and spacious order of design. His books have a large and sweeping simplicity. He builds his story as he would build a house. The strain of every part is calculated and every stone has its place. Hardy produces his effects by largeness of design as well as minute finish of details. Nothing is forgotten. Slight incidents which we barely notice at the time reap later as controlling force of destiny. Unity of effect is an eminent quality of his art. In everything, Hardy's chief concern is truth. His purpose is not to popularize a new idea, nor even to prove a case, but to declare the truth as he sees it. Endowed with the fullest power of appreciation of all that is noble and beautiful in life, all that is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, he is yet a realist who never loses sight of the defects and limitations of man's powers. He is not an excess to paint a moral or content with an easy solution of complexities, but presses on as far as the logic of facts will lead him. And yet when he winds up his story, we recognize a fitness in the final issue and somehow feel chastened. Lionel Johnson says, "It is true of all Hardy's novels that they present either the resolution of a discord into a harmony or the breaking of harmony by a discord. Always the contrast and the varying issue according to the worth of the performers with that strange organ, the human mind." He cites the case of Tess as an illustration. Tess was changing from peasant ignorance and convention when she met Claire, changing from the conventional cultural and belief of a higher station. The woman is struggling up from superstitions, the man is struggling free from prejudice. The two natures, breaking with the past, come together. She is training towards his level of thought, he is stopping to her level of life. The result was a tragic discord. We have in this story a singular presentation of the struggle between old and new in various ranks of life and of ranges of thought, of the contrast of the new in one rank and ranged with the new in another, of the curious diversion in each case of the new to the old. Hardy is fond of portraying troubles that come from the infusion of a little experience, a little education, dazzling and disquieting into the old placid and homely village lives, or of showing the effect upon new vigorous mind and blood of contact with hoary effect antiquity. And there is a note of revolt in Hardy's novels. He does not care for the usual blessing of life, namely happiness and mediocrity. He admires those who are unreconciled to life, the men with a BS in their nature who are capable of the highest spiritual fights. They may be cast down again and again by their own weakness or force of circumstances, but they are always striving towards perfection. The best and greatest among mankind are among those who do themselves no worldly good. A spirit of discontent with the existing state of things burns passionately in his novels. He is up in arms against the powers and influences of an unjust society and of a false religion. But his revolt seldom produces any reflect, it only expresses itself in wailings, flaws and sneers. Although most of his books proceed from the same range of thought, none of them show an irritability of casual comment upon the law of man and God, so much as taste of the D'Urbervilles. Hardy refuses to let the facts of the story convey their own moral without his breaking in upon them with causatic reflections. This is an artistic defect of which the novel is guilty. Another trick of Hardy, which sometimes degenerates into mere mechanical contrivance, is a coincidence of time and place, of repetition of incident and experience. We at times seem to hear the breaking of the stage machinery. Bearing these defects, he is a great artist. He has a gift of insight into the spirit of a place, a rare gift. With a few words, he makes us smell the damp wood, catch the change in the wind's voice as it travels through each kind of tree. As the naturalist with a bone, so Hardy with a word can construct for us the whole manner of a man, the whole aspect of a place. A curious effect is produced by the patient elaboration of study and style in the novels. It brings a strange conviction home to the reader. The reader's mind falls into step with the writer's as the characters unfold and motives meet or across one another. Like Wordsworth, Hardy realizes the world of men and things in a severe harmony. Under the hard light of nature, laws whose alone is the supremacy, but with a pitying irony and child compassion contrasting with the sanguine optimism of Wordsworth. The art of Hardy is a logical art and is no more capricious than the facts of nature. Hardy takes rank among writers who have expressed sadness in art. The deep solemnity of the earth in its woods, fields and lonely places has passed into his work, and when he deals with the passions of man, that spirit directs and guides him. There is nothing so dreadful and so dark that art cannot mold it in fine form, and there is no knowledge of the turns and movements of the heart or man that does not improve our mind. In Hardy's novel, there is a wealth of fine form, enclosing a wealth of knowledge. Hardy's early writings have many defects. There is too much of satire and cynicism, and there are also grave faults of taste. The grossness of facts and conclusions may test the novelist's sincerity in facing life, but there is no justification for introducing unpleasantness that might be avoided. There is, however, an increasing gravity in his best books, resembling the increasing gravity of Shakespeare's mature works. The differences between Trumpet Major and Woodlanders is like the difference between Romeo and Juliet and King Lear. A heightened sense of the significance of love, hate, joy, sorrow, life, death, and a stronger mastery over a synthetic style indicate a continual progress toward the obscure, like Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, is sombre and awful. But Hardy does not wait for a tempest to break his magic wand, but retires from fiction after toward the obscure to the old love of his youth, poetry.